Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, your one stop for creative inspiration. We have a terrific hour of ideas and tips for you today, so let's get to it. Here's your host, Pat Sloan.
Welcome to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and today, this is like an exciting designer art day. I tell you this because I have on, you know, two groups of people that just I adore their work. I'm a fangirl, you know, for everything they do. I have to collect it all. So this is why it's exciting for me to be able to have these people come on and share it with you. We're going to be talking to Tula Pink in the first half of the show, and then the second half of the show I'm going to have on the design duo of Piece of Cake, Linda Jenkins and Becky Goldsmith. So first let's go ahead and we're going to talk to Tula. She has a background in art and music, and then shifted all of that over into our quilt world, where we are forever grateful to have Tula Pink's passion for design and her unique fabrics. And I'm just so excited to have her come on and talk to us about this whole business of quilting. Hi, Tula. How are you?
Hi, Pat. I'm good. How are you?
I'm fabulous. It's always a good day when I get to talk quilting.
Right?
Absolutely. So Tula, tell me, you know, did you actually sew as a kid? Has fabric and sewing been part of your life for as long as you can remember?
Well, I started sewing when I was 14, and I'm a first-generation quilter, so I didn't learn it from grandma or mom or anything like that. Now, of course, my whole family does it because, you know, once you introduce something like that, it's catching. But I actually started quilting only. I really don't do a lot of other kinds of sewing. I'm pretty much a quilter. But my mom put me in a quilting class because it was the only full-day, 8-hour class she could find to keep me out of her hair.
So, that's pretty good. That's how you learn. Stay out of trouble.
Yeah, it kept me out of trouble for 8 straight hours, which I think was a great achievement during my teenage years. So she was grateful, and I think the ladies who taught the class would be shocked and awed to know that I've made this my career at this point.
Have you ever thought about contacting them, Tula, to just, you know, send them a little swatch of fabric and say, do you remember me?
Yeah, I've thought about it, but the store that it was in Southern California, it's not there anymore. I wouldn't even know how to find them. But yeah, I think they were pretty excited when the day was ending and they got to send me home. So I didn't make it easy for them. I'm sure of that.
Well, I'm sure it was, they probably talked about it for years, you know. Remember that
probably.
Kid that we had?
Like, yeah. So remember that kid that broke all of our machines and wrecked our store? Remember her? Yeah, that one.
Now, you come from, you know, since sewing was, you know, you did it as a teen, but then you went to art school, I believe, and then you went off and did music. Tell me a little bit about how your early career, your first career was, and what it fueled for you, creativity, you know, creative-wise.
I was working leading up to designing fabric full-time, I was an art director in the music industry, and I was in charge of basically designing merchandising for music acts. You know, they'd release an album, and we would essentially create a style guide that everybody would follow for that musical act. And, you know, when they were doing album covers and t-shirts and, you know, whatever went along, bus signage, theater signage, that sort of thing, we were kind of in the business of creating an image based around a musical act's specific album or tour. So it was fun. It was super fun. And quilting is what I did to sort of counteract having to design for other people all day. When I started designing my own fabric line, my first line, Full Moon Forest, it was really just sort of a hobby for me. Right. I never really expected it to become a career. Mm-hmm. But it was just my way of getting to design something that didn't use black and red and skulls. because that's pretty much what I did all day long.
So
I got to do something girly and fun.
Pink. The rock stars didn't want pink, and you know.
Yeah, not so many of them wanted that. I created a lot of, during the day working in the music industry, you know, a lot of the images, it was about creating something really edgy and really tough. And I worked with a lot of rappers and, everything from rap to heavy metal to pop. I really ran the gamut all day. Our department was pretty prolific and we had to switch gears really quickly. And so when I would come home, I worked on this little fabric line, you know, if I wear a fabric line, what would I want it to be? And that, it was just sort of a fantasy project just to take my mind off the day. And now here I am. So.
That's really exciting to hear because, you just sort of took a vision of that was fun. And then at some point you said, I think this looks ready enough to show somebody.
Yeah, well, it was really kind of by accident because I had a great career. You know, I'd been in the music industry for about 6 years at this point, and I'd worked my way up and, you know, I was making good money. I had a good life. It was great. And it was really just kind of an accident. I designed this line and, you know, my mom's sort of ever enduring statement of, okay, well, what now? You know, I showed her this fabric line and I was like, hey, look, I designed a little fabric line. Isn't this cute? You know, just totally for fun. And she goes, okay, well, what are you going to do now? So I ended up sending it in, to a fabric company and, you know, it's naive looking back, but I just wanted input like, hey, am I doing this right? What do you think? Is this a viable thing? You know, not really expecting it to actually turn into anything. And I got a response back within 24 hours and it was in production the next day.
Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh.
Yeah,
so it gives goosebumps, huh?
Yeah, it was kind of an accident. And it was, you know, and I was like, oh, well, that's fun. And then I went back to work and waited for the fabric to come in, you know, and the fabric came in and I made some stuff out of it. And I went back to work and then I get the, you know, okay, your next deadline is here. And I'm like, wait, what? So, and then it just kept progressing. And then it finally came down to I had to make a choice. Between, you know, designing fabric became so consuming that I had to choose between my regular job and designing fabric. And I chose to design fabric.
Well, I think we're all, like, it's a very, very lucky, you know, in the quilt world to have you. You know, it's your work is very fresh, you know, and it's very you. I mean, it's in each line, Tula, sort of, you can see that your personality in it. Do you hear that a lot?
I do. I do hear that a lot. And it's really true. I mean, probably the question I get asked the most is, you know, where do you get your inspiration from? And that's just one of those impossible questions because everything I design is just, it's just stuff that comes from my head. You know, it's just, it's the way I see the world. And I think when you're super true to who you are and you just, you know, for me, I just put what's in my head down on cloth and it is what it is. And I'm lucky enough that people like what the inside of my head looks like.
Well, what I find very interesting about the last few lines that you did is that you have sort of embedded images in your work that, like Prince Charming, think of the frog, and you have this glorious frog embedded within all this beautiful sort of detailed, like filigrees and scrolls and mirror image type work. Does your frog idea come first? Does the filigree come first? You know, how did that frog happen?
Well, my very first line had Full Moon Forest was my very first line, and that had, it was like a hidden image sort of gimmick to it, and people really responded to it, and the art directors came back and said, you know that you'll have to do this forever now.
Oh.
and which worked out perfectly for me because, you know, when I sit down to design fabric, I'm trying to give something that truly comes from me that is not going to be like somebody else's work. And that can be really hard to do. I'm so inspired by so many of the designers in the industry. I mean, there's some really brilliant designers in the clothing industry. It's sort of a little hidden treasure of talent. But, you know, there are people out there that can do a big, beautiful flower 1,000 times better than I can. So let them do that. All turn paisleys into frogs. They can do the big flowers. So it's about, I mean, every time I sit down to do a line, I'm thinking about what can I offer that, you know, maybe somebody else can't. And with the hidden images, it's a little bit of a visual ADD for me. I always start, you know, I'll start out trying to do something very simple and elegant and beautiful. And I'll go, hey, that kind of looks like a frog. And then it's like, well, if I move this line here and move this line here, then it really will be a frog. And it just evolves into that. And I tend to start, a lot of my process involves making lists. So I'll make lists of, you know, animals that tell a story, for instance. And then I'll make a list of kind of pattern motifs that I want to do. And then I start pairing them off. And then from there, kind of go into how do I make these shapes make this other image? Because I really want there to be a double take in everything that I do. So it's one thing when you're standing far away, and then as you get closer, there's more to see.
Well,
kind of like reading a story.
Yeah, you really hit it. You really hit it right on the nail. And I think that that's why your work, it's like a little mystery book. You know, what did Tula put in here? And how did all these connect? And yeah, and you know, the one time on your blog, you also did, you know, a little storyboard where you showed us where Parisville came from. And I thought that was totally fascinating because it has the women with the big hair and some of the hair has ships in it and just, you know, just gorgeous, gorgeous stuff. Do you build a storyboard maybe here in the couple seconds before we take a break? Do you always build a storyboard of sorts?
Maybe a mental storyboard, not always a physical one. But it's really all about a narrative for me. I'm trying to tell a story with every fabric line. And I think the people that are really into my fabrics understand that because when I talk to them, they almost tell the story back to me. And that's so it's just about kind of creating this narrative.
Wonderful. We're going to take a break, Tula.
Okay.
And we'll be right back after this with American Patchwork and Quilting Radio.
Join Beth for video demonstrations of the latest and greatest quilting products. Visit allpeoplequilt.com and click on Tool School. Welcome back to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. And what a show it is. Strutting down the runway with a fizzle and pop is Pezzi Print by American Jane. Now it's Kate Spain showcasing waterfalls of color and good fortune. Chloe's Closet is here with a peachy keen idea, combining two classic favorites, flannel and 30s prints. Next, let's take a walk in the woods with Anie LaHoy and discover enchanting storybook characters. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics. At Stash Books, we work to inspire you to use fabric to create a beautiful handmade lifestyle. We're passionate about inspirational designs, accurate instructions, and finding authors that you want to know and learn from. Visit StashBooks.com for a behind-the-scenes look at this season's new releases, including Modern Minimal by Elisa Haight Carlton, Modern Patchwork by Elizabeth Hartman, and much more. Sign up for our email list at StashBooks.com and get 20% off your next order.
Here's a special offer just for radio listeners. Get 2 full years of American Patchwork and Quilting delivered right to your door for less than half the cost on the newsstand. You won't miss an issue that's packed with never-before-seen projects from top designers, complete materials lists for all projects, and easy-to-use pull-out patterns and quilting diagrams. Subscribe today online, and you'll also get a free downloadable pattern. Check it out. Go to allpeoplequilt.com.
See our
editors share their tips, ideas, and techniques by visiting allpeoplequilt.com and clicking on Watch Videos.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to Tula Pink. Now, Tula, you have done some work for 1 Million Pillowcase that American Patchwork and Quilting magazine sponsors. Thank you for that.
Yeah, it was fun.
What did you do exactly? Can you just give us a little synopsis?
On the website, I made a sample pillowcase using one of the patterns off the website. With what was my new fabric line at the time that I did it, Prince Charming. But I was interested to do it because my mom's shop, quilt shop here in Stuartsville, Missouri, participates in the program as well, and they make an amazing amount of pillowcases. And so it was just sort of natural. I was making them anyway. And when American Patchwork and Quilting asked me to do one for the website, I was like, oh, take your pick.
Take your pick. Here you go. Well, that's great. You know, we're working hard to get that million. It takes a while.
Yeah.
So let's talk about your book, Fabulous Quilts from the House
Thank
of
you.
Tula Pink. Oh, my gosh, 20 projects. I just love it. I love it. You give a lot of sort of design information in the front of the book, which I think is really unique for you, for, you know, for in your mm-hmm. book to what other books have. Mm-hmm. Tell me a little bit about what your concept was to put out a book, because you also do single patterns that showcase your fabric.
Yeah, I do. And, I've been approached to do books for the last few years, but I really wanted to wait until I felt like I had a whole book worth of something to say. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to just throw together a bunch of projects, put it in this format, and push it out. I wanted to really wait until I felt like I had, like, some real information that I felt like all went together to put out. And so what the book is essentially just a compilation of projects that people always comment when they come to my house. Like, oh, I love your lampshade. You know, where'd you get that? And it's like, oh, I embroidered it myself. Oh, how'd you do that? So I kind of took all those projects, hence the name Quilts from the House of Tula Pink. It was just sort of everything that people comment on when they come to my house. Of things
like your
that
shower
I've made.
Curtain. So you have
yeah,
this
like
fabulous
my shower curtain. And yeah, because I tend to sort of go off on tangents and make these weird little things that occupy my living space. It's like a big handmade circus over here. But then in the front, I really wanted to, I spent a lot of time in a quilt shop, and all the comments, things that people have trouble with, I kind of wanted to put all that information as best I could in one place, you know, like how you select fabric and, how do I know what colors to put together? And because for me, quilting is there's the pattern on the cover, and there's always going to be people who want to make it exactly like is what is on the cover. But I also would love for people to have the confidence to tailor that, you know, the fabric selection or the patterns to fit their own lifestyle and their own home, and to say this is merely a suggestion mm-hmm. of how to put these fabrics together. And so it was really important to me to have a pretty comprehensive fabric selection chapter in the book. And then I really wanted to put a little bit about how I designed the fabric in the book as well, just so people can understand maybe a little bit more about, as a fabric designer, the choices that we make when we're putting a collection together, because we're really not just designing a bunch of stuff, throwing it against the wall, making it all the same color and selling it. You know, there's a real sort of philosophy behind it, and it's different for each designer based on the kind of projects that they make. I'm a quilter primarily, so I'm really thinking about quilting when I'm designing my fabrics. And that's going to impact scale and color and, you know, light, mediums, and darks and all of that.
Yeah, and it's so true. You know, when there's so much more to the thought of how it'll be used for most fabric lines. And
right.
For all of us that are actually also quilters, we always are thinking, well, how would we use it? It's
right.
It's a really, really fun part of your first, you know, the first part of your book. And you have all of these great little tips, the Tula Says tips. And I just love that you, I know, it's so cute.
Well, and then, yeah, and those were really fun too, because when I was up at the Crosby Publications, I was up at their offices for a week when we were doing all of the sort of step out photos for the front of the book. And I just kept shouting things out, you know, like, oh, well, when you do this, you got to do it like this. Or, you know, it works a lot better if you do this. And unbeknownst to me, my editor was writing them all down, and then they showed up in the book. So what you're seeing in the book is sort of like my little quilting Tourette's, where I just like throw things out into the universe and don't really pay attention to whether or not someone's listening. But this time someone was, and they wrote them down. So I thought that was a nice little add-on to the book.
Yeah, it is really good, because I like the part where you just give permission to people to just do it. You know, that's right. That's a bit of your philosophy, isn't it? To try to encourage people.
Well, my philosophy on quilting is pretty simple. I'm a pretty simple sewer. I have two rulers, a rotary cutter, a pair of scissors. I don't like a lot of tricky things in my own sewing. Mm-hmm. And the way I make things tends to be fairly traditional, even though the results aren't. But, you know, quarter inch seams, straight up and down. Not a lot of funny stuff in my quilting. I like it to be fun, and when it stops being fun, then either you're not doing it right, or maybe you should move on to something else, in my opinion, because quilting is a hobby. We're not dismantling bombs here. You know, we're making beautiful things, and if something happens, for fun. It should be fun, and that's kind of how I try to approach most things, is when it stops being fun, it's usually not worth doing. So, and that's
absolutely
the way I approach the book as well.
Now, you recently attended one of the creative circles out at American Patchwork and Quilting Magazine's facilities. Did you have a good time?
Mm-hmm. Oh, my gosh, it was amazing.
It's amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun. Yeah. And I got to meet some people that maybe I wouldn't have met otherwise, that I was really impressed by, and it was just a really great experience.
Yeah, it's lovely to be able to go and be pampered, and you don't have to make the magic happen. Somebody else is doing that.
Right. It's like a mental break. Yeah.
Yes. Well, now when you're there,
we can make things and not have to figure out how to sell it at the end of the day.
Yeah, yeah, no editing. Now, our editor, Jennifer Keltner, said she just loved talking to you about taking, you know, encouraging people to take quilting to sort of the next level for people who have been working in sort of like a basic mode. Tell me a little bit about how, I know you feel really passionate about that. How do you feel, you know, tell me a little bit about that.
Well, I do. I think I actually just recently participated in a panel for the American Quilting Society, also in Raleigh, that covered this topic about, you know, I hear all the time, oh, modern quilters, they just, you know, it just means their seams don't match and they use a lot of solids, which is so untrue. Mm-hmm. And there's a lot of discrepancy between the sort of modern quilter versus the traditional quilter, and I don't really put a line between the two. I consider myself to be both, and I think almost all of us are. But it's really just about recognizing that a lot of what we're seeing in things that are labeled with modern quilting are a lot of new sewers. And, you know, with this, and so we were seeing a lot of squares and rectangles and very, very basic quilts in the beginning. And what I'm noticing now that I'm really excited about is a lot of those quilters have made 5, 10, 15 quilts now, and they're ready to move on. They're ready for something a little bit more interesting and, you know, maybe taking it to the next level and incorporating new techniques. And I think one of the most fascinating things about this sort of newly rejuvenated section of the quilting industry is that, like me, a lot of them are first-generation sewers, so we don't have a lot of built-in fear of things. Like, for the first 10 years of quilting, I did not fear bias because I had no idea what it was. So I wasn't afraid of it. You know,
you were doing it, you had no idea. That's
yeah, and And because of that, I think it forced me into doing projects that maybe technically I wasn't ready for, but because I wasn't afraid of it and didn't know I was supposed to be, or that you know, I didn't know that this was harder than this, or that thing was more difficult, or these complications would arrive, I just dove into it. And because of that fearlessness, I feel like it pushed me forward a lot faster. And I think that's what's happening now with this sort of new resurgence of brand new quilters who have never done it before, who weren't taught by anybody. And they're just going on the internet, going on blogs and YouTube and all these things going, I want to do that. They're looking it up on YouTube, finding a video that tells them how to do it. And they're just doing it without any fear at all. And so we're seeing this sort of this progression in that I still need to come up with a good word for what to call this, because it's not a generation, because it has nothing to do with age.
Right.
It's just sort of a new group of quilters. And there's, so I feel like there's all these really interesting advancements being made, not so much in, you know, a new technique, but there is that too. But we're seeing a lot of new shapes and new ways to put colors together. And, you know, every piece isn't quite so precious.
Right.
So they're going through them faster and they're making a lot of mistakes. But in doing so, I think we're all collectively as a community learning a lot from it. And I just think it's really fascinating and really interesting. And it's a really exciting time to be a quilter.
I so agree. And the ability to go out there and share on the internet and the blogs and Facebook and forums just sort of excels in, you know, the rate of sharing that before you could only do it in person at your shop or maybe your guild.
Yeah. And it's great too. I mean, just this morning, I've talked to people on three different continents about quilting just today, you know, and that's such an amazing thing. And so there's this geographical regional line that's being blurred where there isn't so much American quilting, Australian quilting, you know, Eastern European quilting. It's kind of all becoming one large community.
Well, Tula, this has been so much fun to have you on the show.
Well, thanks. I've had a good time.
Yeah, it's been incredible to hear about how you think about your fabrics and your book and, you know, encouraging everybody to come out and visit you at tulapink.com, where you have a blog and they can find you on Twitter.
Yes, absolutely.
We'll be right back.
Choose from more than 100 of your favorite patterns from American Patchwork and Quilting, Quilts and More, and Quilt Sampler, all available online. Buy downloadable patterns today at apqshop.com.
Did you know you can find your favorite books from C&T Publishing available as ebooks at ctpub.com? From new releases to classics, there are hundreds of titles to choose from. Ebooks are instant and immediate. No more waiting around for a printed book to be delivered. They take up less space and are easily portable. Plus, ebooks use very few natural resources. Look for the ebook sale button at ctpub.com to save 20% on your ebook purchase. Start browsing now at ctpub.com.
We're back at the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. You can just feel the excitement. Minnick and Simpson are back with Prairie Paisley 2, a collection with the rich, layered look of a well-loved fabric stash. Here comes Sandy Gervais getting sassy with this bright and cheerful line. Up next, Deb Strain's Tend the Earth is bringing the peaceful feeling of a garden to the runway. Ooh la la, it's Bunny Hill Designs and Baby's Going to Paris. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Follow American Patchwork and Quilting on Pinterest to find ideas for bags, baby projects, pillowcases, storage and organization, and more. Visit Pinterest.com/APQ magazine to join the fun.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio, and I am here with the designing duo, Becky Goldsmith and Linda Jenkins from Piece of Cake. You guys have Piece of Cake Designs, I believe. You have been, you know, seeing their work, their quilts, their books, their patterns, their fabrics over all of these years, and I am really excited to have them on the show to talk about, you know, how they design together and, you know, all the different things they do in the industry. So, hi, Linda and Becky. How are you today?
Hello, Pat. Hey, Pat. I'm good. We're good. Staying cool.
yeah, staying cool. So, you know, you two have been in business together for quite a long time, but I believe one of you was originally the teacher and one was the student. That's how you met. Linda, what was that story?
Becky, when I met her, probably was the best hand quilter in our guild, and we belonged to a stitch group together, and I'd get there early and wait for her to sit down, and I'd sit by her real quick because I want to learn how to hand quilt like that. And it's funny because I never really knew she was doing that.
You just thought she liked you a lot, right, Becky?
I did. Like, hey, I thought she liked me. And she eventually gave me a lesson, you know. So our partnership was meant to be from that moment forward. So,
right. Oh, my gosh. So, you know, Becky, when did you know that you wanted to have a quilt business? I mean, did it just sort of pop in your head one day, or how did that happen?
Well, I still have two sons, but they were much younger when we started the business. And I had a business before Piece of Cake where I did refrigerator magnets, and they were hand-drawn, and then I reproduced them and colored them. But I honed my drawing skills with that. And then when Linda announced that she was leaving Tulsa and moving to Colorado, and at about the same time, my husband announced that he was leaving the University of Tulsa and we were moving to Texas, I drew a block for Linda for her going away quilt, and it turned into our first pattern. So I suppose I drew it, but Linda was the one that looked at it and said, you know, we've got a business here.
Uh-huh. So Linda, what was that block? What did it look like?
It was, I wanted Santa blocks, and Becky drew a Santa. I had expressed that the hardest part about moving would be Christmas and not living in Tulsa for Christmas. And so the Santa was facing a road sign that said Bogosa on one side of it pointing, and the other side was pointing Tulsa. And that was our first pattern. It was too
so
cute.
Cool.
Yeah, it was really cute.
Oh my gosh. So, you know, your business has probably changed since you started. How long have you been in business? Do you remember? Has it been that long?
26 years?
This is our 19th year.
19th year. I've been quilting 26 years. Yeah, that's the one.
Okay. So what do you see, like Linda, what do you see might be the biggest change between when you started and your business and what you have now?
Technology. We've never lived in the same town since we started the business, and technology has allowed us to more easily work living apart and to stay very well communicating when we're doing designs and stuff. In fact, this morning we talked on something that I've been wanting to do, and we sort of brainstorm it. And I'd say the technology is the big thing. And then, you know, we never have really gone with trends. We just do what one of us wants to do, and we have to both agree that we want to do it, but usually one or the other of us comes up with the idea. Sometimes we come up with them together.
So, Becky, is there something else that you've also thought that is sort of changed since you started?
For me, again, it's technology, but it's possible that I see it in a slightly different way than Linda does, because when we started the business, all of the patterns were hand-drawn. So I sat down, pencil and paper, pen and paper, and when it came time to lay them out for publication, there was all that inking, and you couldn't make a mistake, and oh my goodness, it was so hard. And then if I drew something and then mailed it to Linda for her to look at, mm-hmm. and if something had to be changed, it wasn't a click of a mouse change. It was hours again to change something. So when I learned Illustrator, I taught myself Adobe Illustrator. And for me, that has been probably the most monumental change from beginning to now.
That's so true. I can remember those of us who started even a little bit after you were putting photographs on the covers of our pattern and gluing
them. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, I did that. That was my department.
Yeah. It's good to have a
glitter of labor.
No. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah. Yeah. The technology has made it where when we have an idea, I can do a rough sketch. Becky's the artist. I can do a rough sketch or communicate what I want it to look like, and it can go back and forth until it develops into, the final drawings. Where before, when you're hand drawing, it's painful when someone wants to change something.
Yeah, there was some crankiness.
Yeah.
Did you just say no? No, we're not changing that.
There were some, probably a few times when I said, that feather is just find where it is.
So what happens nowadays if, do you ever have a point where maybe you can't come to agreement on a design, or your design sort of individual? How is that collaboration between you?
Well, Linda knows the quilts she wants to make, and I know the quilts I want to make. And so it's rare that we actually work together on the same project. We might work together on projects that end up in the same book. Mm-hmm. And they tend to look, I don't think your average individual can look at the quilts we've made and put a name on that one's Becky's or that one's Linda's, because our color sense is so similar, and probably too, because the designs are all drawn, they flow through my pen, so to speak. Mm-hmm. And so there's a similarity to the designs. But now I've forgotten the question.
Oh, it sounds like you probably don't often hit a point where you disagree on something, since you don't actually make a quilt together.
No, we seldom ever disagree anymore. In the beginning we did, and we had a 3-day rule that we wouldn't talk about it for 3 days. And then we'd come back together, and we always had came to the same decision,
Yeah.
So a lot of it's letting go of your ego when you have an idea, and actually thinking the idea out is, well, what would be the best?
That's actually a very good point, because it's a team effort at some point. It's not an individual effort, because there's the two of you being putting the whole project together. When you're talking about the colors, let's I just find your color sense fascinating. I always have. I've been a fan of your work since I started quilting. And when you go to pick a palette, let's say Linda first, how do you collect fabric? Do you just think, I want this quilt to be blue? How does it work for you?
I usually begin with one color that I know I want to work with, and then it's the gathering of other fabrics that look really good with that. And sometimes I'll just have a piece of fabric that I'm just in love with, and I think, okay, this next project I'm using this fabric, and then you go from there. And oftentimes, a lot of times, the fabric I began with, I never wind up using in the quilt. it all evolves color-wise. And the design really tells us a lot about the color, too.
the feel of what we want and everything. And we're both great fabric collectors, so we always have a nice stash.
So Becky, do you have a huge stash? You talk about your fabric a lot on the blog. You know, how do you handle all that fabric coming in and going out for your space?
I actually don't have a huge house, and Linda taught me something many years ago, and that's not to let your stash grow beyond control. And so the bulk of my fabric lives in a closet, and the shelves are 4 feet wide, and the top of the yellows on tiptoe, I can reach. The yellows are at the top. And that's it. That's pretty much all I've got. And when I end up with fabric on the floor, I weed it out. I donate it to the church garage sale or whatever. So while I buy a lot of fabric and it comes in, and I tend to use it up. I don't always use it up at the same rate that I'm putting it in. I weed out the oldest stuff. And I know that there's a lot of quilters that sounds like heresy. Mm-hmm. You know, they've got fabric right. That they've held on to for 20 years. But in my own personal experience, I know my tastes have changed enough that fabric I loved even 10 years ago, I don't maybe love it so much anymore. So I make it go away.
Well, and I think when you're designing, you also have a need to work with more up-to-date fabrics because quilters are always looking for the fabric that you used.
Oh, exactly.
And so you have to keep a certain amount of the collection updated.
Yeah.
But I think letting your space designate how much fabric you got is the perfect way. I don't have near the space that I did have, and I don't have near the fabric.
So you just keep it rotating.
Right.
Yeah. And it's not like you can't go buy more.
Right.
they keep making it, and it's so good, you know. So
and we want it.
And we want it. And, you know, so I'm a cautious buyer, but when I find something I want, I don't hesitate to just buy it. I buy a lot of dots.
Yeah, I've been across the table from you when you were shopping one time. So I watched you shop, Becky. That's you're a good shopper. You're a good shopper. Are you approaching? We have about 30 seconds. Are you till we take a break? Are you approaching fabric differently than you did when you first started your business?
I buy quarter yards mostly, rather than yard pieces. You know, or 10 yards at a time. Remember back in the day, you'd buy 10 yards. I buy fat quarters and half yards.
Yeah, I do too. That's pretty much what I do. I only buy yardage if there's something that I just know is going to be a killer backing for a piece that sooner or later I'll have the right quilt to put it on.
That's interesting.
Yeah, so most of the time I don't even do that. I wait until I get close to having it done to find that fabric.
Very, very interesting. Well, we're going to take a little break, Linda and Becky, from Piece of Cake. This is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. We'll be right back.
Ready for a new project? Choose from hundreds of free patterns in the Projects and Ideas section of our website, allpeoplequilt.com.
Welcome to the Spring 2012 Moda Fabrics Fashion Show. We've got a great lineup for you today. Entering with the Spin, Twirl by Me and My Sister Designs brings a playful and fun vibe to the runway. Oh, Hello Luscious by Basic Gray. You looking good, girl. Up next, Reunion by Sweetwater offers a fresh take on navy by pairing it with gray and happy shades of green, yellow, and red. Look who's coming now. It's the Berenstain Bears, a childhood favorite. Stay tuned for more runway reporting and visit your local quilt shop to see these fashionable lines and more from Moda Fabrics.
Whatever your style, whatever your skill, you'll find everything you need to start sewing today at PatternSpot.com, the downloadable pattern marketplace. It's a one-stop shop with hundreds of designers and thousands of patterns, all online under one virtual roof. Go to PatternSpot.com and sign up for our email list to get 20% off your next purchase. From quilts, home decor, and wearables to fabric crafts and accessories, PatternSpot.com is your one-stop pattern shop.
When
quilting supplies worth over $1,200. Enter the 1 Million Pillowcase Challenge sweepstakes for your chance to win tons of fabric, books, tools, and more. Visit allpeoplequilt.com/million pillowcases to enter.
Win $10,000 cash to stock your stash. Enter today to win the ultimate $10,000 crafting giveaway at allpeoplequilt.com/craft giveaway.
Welcome back to American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan, and I'm talking to Becky Goldsmith and Linda Jenkins of Piece of Cake Designs. So both you guys have two projects on allpeoplequilt.com. I'm excited about them. You've got the Fused Garden Blooms, and then we have another project with that has tulips on it called the Fusible Flowers Wall Quilt. These are really very, what I would call very typical of your of a piece of cake look. Do you think that?
Yes. Yeah, yes. You know, we've
you have a style.
We do have a style, and it's probably what many people, including I, would consider to be a contemporary take on what are at their basic where they start is traditional, but there's a contemporary bent to them.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And a lot of our designs have a whimsical feel to them, too.
Yeah.
Not all of them, but some of them do. We're drawn to whimsical things. So
I always love how your pieces take tradition and then put your stamp on it. You know,
And the thing is, you know, it's some of our earlier work and many of the blocks of the month that we've done, definitely you can see the traditional basis for those patterns. But then I think about books like Appliqué Outside the Lines. Mm-hmm. And they're really not, they wander much farther away from their traditional roots. So we have a style, but it's a little hard to put your finger on, I think.
Yeah, and I think just from having been a fan of your work and followed your work for so long, you've stretched and changed and explored. Like your Outside the Lines, to me, is a lot more it is more asymmetrical than your previous work.
Right. I personally am drawn more and more to asymmetry. I like it better.
Well, and
I'm sorry, there's got to be a balance to the asymmetry that's also there. So,
well, and I think you used the right word, Pat, when you said explore. Becky and I both, we tend to get bored if we were doing the same thing over and over. Mm-hmm. We tend to always be looking for something that excites us, you know, something new to try, that we haven't done before, whether it be use of color or a change in the designs. We're always trying to change things up.
Yeah, and I think that's why your work appeals to so many, because you sort of take it a little bit at a time and move it out. It's not like totally different one pattern to the next. It's sort of like a stepping stone effect. Do you feel like that?
Yes, I think you're right. Yeah.
So let's talk about your book, Appliqué with Attitude. That's your newest book, I believe.
Yes, it is.
Yes, with C&T. I love this technique of doing a turned under edge for your appliqué, but your thread work is showing. I call that a running stitch appliqué. But
sort
you
of,
have
yeah.
appliqué with attitude. I like that even better.
Yeah, we used the running stitch, but we also used cross stitches, and we used a serrated edge stitch that's similar to a blanket stitch, but different. We used a lot of quite a few different stitches when doing this, and gosh, it's fun, and it's so much faster than invisible needle turn. This is visible needle turn appliqué.
Right. And Becky, you did some videos and had some sort of step outs on your website, which is pizzacake.com. So tell me about that.
Yeah, on the if you go to pizzacake.com and look along the menu bar at the top and click on lessons, there are a variety of videos that are up there. And I'm in the process, in the next 4 weeks, I'm going to be recording many, many more videos to put up to help people. You know, you read the book, and even if you've got our DVD, it's all very helpful, but it's really nice to also have a video to refer to.
Right. And your videos are really well done. I mean, you really are very detailed, and I think people will get a lot out of it.
Well, thank you. We try. We have always, Linda and I both have tried to present complete instructions in the books and in the patterns and when we teach.
So when with the applique where the thread is showing, what size thread are you using for this? Because I've done it with all weights of threads. What's your favorite weight?
We're using Presencia's Pearl Cotton in either the size 16 or the 12. The 16 is thinner than the 12. It shows, but it doesn't have a whole lot of presence. But it's a real pretty little thread. Pulls through the fabric better. The
right.
size 12 has a little more attitude to it, and I find myself sewing more with the 12. It requires just a little bit more finger strength to pull through the fabric, but it's real pretty.
It's so much fun to work with. It's just for those people that have done needle turn applique for years, it will come real natural because it's the same techniques. You're just using a different thread, and for the beginners, they'll find it so much more it will be more easy for them than learning the needle turn, the invisible stitch.
And it's an interesting proposition because it is needle turn, and what quilters always assume is that when you say needle turn, that includes the invisible stitch at the outside, but it really doesn't. What we're doing is using the needle to turn under the edge, but it's not an invisible stitch we're using. It's that running stitch with the pearl cotton or one of the other stitches that we use in the book.
So when do you have like a little tip? Because one of the things that I've had when I've done this is to, you know, when you're working with curves, you know, it can be a little tricky, any type of needle turn. But for this, is there a trick to keep your curve smooth as you go around with your thread being on the surface like that?
There's a variety of tips. The first is always to finger press your edge under, you know, that line you intend to turn the seam allowance under on. You need to use your fingers and press a little crease there all the way around the shape. And then when you turn the seam allowance to the back, it will fall easily under on that finger pressed crease. The other thing is that what happens when you turn under a seam allowance on a curve, on an outer curve, is that the fabric will fold over on itself, and it sort of makes a little pleat on the underside and a point on the outside of the curve.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
What you need to do is reach into that fold on the underside of the applique. I like to use a damp toothpick, but you could use your needle. Reach into that pleat and pull it open in one direction and then get behind it and sort of smooth it out in the other direction. What you're doing is spreading apart the fabric that is folded over itself. And as you do that, the point on the outer edge will smooth out. It'll go away.
Another
part of it, too, is that Well, I just went blank now all of a sudden.
Pitch at a time. I bet that's what you were thinking.
Yeah, that's
you want
what I was
to on
say.
An outer
one
curve.
Or two, one or two stitches at a time when you're on those curves. People try and turn too much under at once.
Yeah, I think that's excellent, Linda, because I do believe that does come into the problem where it's so easy to bank more stitches up this way. And people get excited and get three or four stitches on and, you know, on a straightaway. But when you get to the curve, you have to really back it down.
Yeah, yeah. And that's true in needle turn with an invisible stitch. I mean, you do the same seam allowance management in invisible stitching as you would with stitching with attitude.
Yeah. And so, yeah. Linda, you also have a little project. You are now obsessed with hexies. Is this true?
Oh, yeah. I've been doing some. You know, what I've had fun with is not working from a drawn paper design like I'm used to doing. And it's mm-hmm. just making all these hexes and then playing with actually how you want to put them together and what you want them to look like. And it's a great, they're great projects for people that travel a lot or you mm-hmm. go to a lot of meetings, because all you have to do is have a little small bag and you've got your stitching with you. And we're traveling, my husband and I, more and more, and I've got to have stitching with me wherever I go.
We can't live without stitching.
No, got to have my stitching. It keeps me sane.
So I have a question that was left for Becky on my website. You took a trip to Australia, and Sue was wondering whether, like, there was anything in particular that you came away from with that trip.
Well, besides loving Australia deeply, I love Australia and Australians. What I find among the quilting community there is that they tend to be so open-minded is maybe not exactly the right word, but they embrace the possibilities. You know, they don't approach their quilts with a preconceived notion of this is right and this is wrong. They wow. just do it. And I really enjoyed, I enjoyed that whole attitude.
Well, their look is that way when you really look at the different Australian quilts. They're not as afraid of big prints and color as a lot are, you know.
I think they must have some rules, but it's kind of hard to figure out what they are. it's really nice.
I think they mainly base their stuff on traditional designs. But then with the way they put them together and change up the design and then their choices of fabrics takes it to a whole nother realm. It's amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun.
Well, you know, girls, this has been just wonderful to have you on the show.
Well, we certainly appreciate being on. We enjoy you, Pat.
Aww. Yes, we do. And if we're that close to ending, it has gone by so quickly.
It does. It just flies. And you have so much great information. I want everybody to visit you at peaceocake.com. And you can see their books and patterns and lessons and visit their blog. So this is American Patchwork and Quilting Radio. I'm your host, Pat Sloan. Visit us on Facebook, Twitter, and the internet, allpeoplequilt.com. We'll see you next week with the brand new show.
Visit allpeoplequilt.com for more information on topics from today's show, as well as how-to videos, free printable patterns, and additional tips and techniques.